Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying practical Christianity, learning to relate to one another. In this session, we'll be looking at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 21, minister to one another. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 14 says, "And if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another." The Bible says to love our neighbors, to love them as ourselves, which includes fairness in all of our dealings, as good neighbors. How do we become good neighbors? Well, Luke chapter 10, verse 29 down to verse 37 tells us, "But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." There are several keys to becoming ministers to one another as Christians. It begins with a focus in our thought process, a change in our thought process from a world focus to a real kingdom focus. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." First, be humble enough to recognize others' worth. Romans 12, again, verses 3 through 5. "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body and individually, one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. All people are valuable to God." Think of the worst repulsive person that you can. Jesus died for him or her too. All people are potentially valuable to the body of Christ. Example, the shepherd boy David was not considered for the anointing line, but he was God's choice to be king. Listen, who will be the next Billy Graham? Probably someone we least expect. It might be in church that young person in the back that's talking and irritating you. Second, be saved enough to be useful. Again, in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. But before we go there, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. What I call the three tenses of salvation. 2 Corinthians 1:10, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us in whom we trust that he will still deliver us, past, present, future. We were saved. We are being saved, that meaning that we're being changed into the image of Christ. And one day we will realize the salvation that we already have in its reality. Let me ask you, which of the seven motivational spiritual gifts are yours? There's about 38 spiritual gifts, somewhere 33, 38 spiritual gifts listed in the New Testament. But seven of those are what I call motivational gifts. They're outlined in this passage in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. And they're the gifts, while there's others for ministry and for manifestation, these ones that motivate us in the work, in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Verses 6 through 8, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The gift of prophecy, the gift of ministry or service, the gift of teaching, the gift of exhortation, the gift of giving, the gift of leading or organization, the gift of mercy. Spiritual gifts differ from Christian to Christian. But, well, that tells us that in the first part of verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, the main point is, while we have differing gifts, spiritual gifts are to be used. The second part of verse 6. Having then gifts, let us use them. Discover what gift you have that motivates your ministry and then use it for the kingdom of God. And then third, be loving enough to be involved. Verses 9 to 11. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Listen, genuine love is hands-on. The Good Samaritan narrative that we read, he felt compassion for another, and then he acted in that compassion toward the person. Genuine love is vulnerable and uncomfortable. It's vulnerable in that it's willing to be hurt or to suffer. And it's uncomfortable because it gets us out of our convenience. And genuine love is also personal. It's not aloof. Expecting someone else to do what God has called you to do. And then fourth, be joyful enough to share. Verse 12 down to verse 21. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Maintaining a Christ-like attitude, even with your enemies. Well, who's my enemy? Well, your enemy is anyone who places himself or herself in opposition to you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Share with those in need. Material things and spiritual things. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Christ-like believers build harmony by their obedient submission to the commands of their Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the beginning of becoming a good neighbor. You think about that, and you have a great day.